Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
If you need one of these Bible studies, if you'll lift your hand, somebody will bring you one, okay? If you need one, raise your hand. We got a few that need them. We're going to look at the topic of truth tonight, briefly. This is a review of some of the topics that we've been looking at as we study focus on the family, putting a focus on our relationships in the home and our family. We talked about hope. The scripture says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." And so we wanted to do that. We wanted to study that, and we did. And then forgiveness. Because we have been so greatly forgiven, then we can forgive others. And then the word blessing. Words that express fondness for, confidence in, and recognition of a special person. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And when you use your mouth, use your tongue to bless others, it can make an eternal difference, a great difference in someone's life. And then last time we looked at the word honor. And from that scripture that says, honor your father and your mother. I love what the statement there says. It means valuing your relationship to them, taking the initiative to improve the relationship, recognizing that they have done some things right, acknowledging their sacrifices, seeing them as Christ does with compassion and mercy, and forgiving them perhaps for any mistakes they've made. We're to be honest, to be positive, to be public, and be decisive. That is to give honor where honor is due to our parents. Now, tonight's topic is the topic truth. Building our family upon truth. Now, there's a camp that we used to go to years ago up in upstate New York. I went there in the winter one time. In the summertime, Scroon Lake is a beautiful, deep lake. The fishing is amazing. The water is clear. It's just a fantastic place. In the wintertime, it is super cold. It's up in the Adirondack Mountains. And I'll never forget seeing a truck go down to the bank and drive across the lake. That's how thick the ice was. A huge work truck drove across to where there was an island in the middle where they had a youth camp, and I saw that happen. I want you to imagine that I'm there, and it's the fall, and the lake is beginning to freeze. So I think about, I think I could walk across this. It looks like it's thick. I've seen trucks go across it. And so I begin to walk across it, but the ice is only just about an inch thick, maybe even thinner than that. I get out in the middle of that, in the middle of that lake, and all of a sudden, crash, blah, 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 I go down. Now, I was sincere in thinking that the ice would hold me up. But would you agree with me that sincerity had nothing to do with whether or not the ice held me up or not? That's the thing about truth. Some people say, well, it's not really what you believe, but it's your sincerity. I think that's a false way to live. We need to know what the truth is, and we need to base our life and our family upon the truth and make that a priority in our family. Number one, it's a mistake when we make sincerity the equivalent of truth. Truth is the fuel of transformation. If you have your Bible, I want you to look at John, the 17th chapter and the 17th verse. John 17:17. These are the words of Jesus, where Jesus said this. He said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the most important truth that we know of, the only sure truth that we know of, is found in God's word. Now, truth is the fuel that brings transformation. If we want to see our family change, we've got to base our family upon the truth of Scripture. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a great passage of Scripture, verse 1 and 2, but verse 2 says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we transformed by? What is our mind renewed by? It is renewed by the Word of God. And so truth is the fuel of transformation. Now, our world out there, number three, in a world of shifting man-made ideas, as a family, we are to embrace biblical truth. Think about what the world out there says. The world talks about what faith is all about. Well, they would say there are many faiths. The old statement, all roads lead to heaven. It's your sincerity that's important. You know, the Scripture teaches us that it's the object of our faith is what brings salvation. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. It's not really, we should be sincere in our faith, but there's not some level of sincerity in some false object of faith that is going to bring us salvation. No, it is going to be faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you think about the man-made ideas related to faith. Think about the man-made ideas about morality, what is right and what is wrong, and how that is out there in the world, and yet the Bible gives us truth about morality. Think about friendships. What kind of friendships should we have? And you think about the teaching on that, or what the world would say about that. Think about priorities. What should be your priorities? What does the world say our priorities should be? And yet, does that measure up with the truth of God's Word? And then you think about the area of authority. Are we under any authority? Or will we be like Adam and Eve in the garden and want to be our own authority? We don't want to be under God-given authority. We want to be the authority. I think that is really the central question of life is, who are you going to allow? Are you going to attempt to run your own life? Are you going to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him save you, redeem you, and then be the direction of your life? So I say all that to say that the truth is what fuels transformation. And so the plea tonight is for all of us to say in our home, with our family, we are going to make a commitment to truth, the truth of God's Holy Word. Jesus said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, in Luke 21:33. So our families must be built on truth. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and look back at Matthew chapter 7 briefly. We're going to look at this Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and following. Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus is saying, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Number five, if you build your house on the rock, it takes intentionality and focus. This doesn't happen by accident. It's like building a house. I don't know if you've ever done that. I haven't physically built a house, but my brother-in-law is a builder, and he built Kelly and I a house in Jacksonville. It was so much fun. Now, I told him I want to save a little money and do the painting. Don't ever do that. Because he told me, he said, if you do the painting, you've got to do all the caulking. You know, we will paint a room. Well, when you paint a room, it's already been caulked, Malcolm. The nail holes are filled in. Or if Kelly's put up a picture, I go in with my little white stuff I get from Home Depot. I take a little putty knife and go, man, we're ready to roll. But wait a minute. When you do a brand new house, you have to fill in every little nail hole. My brother-in-law called me. He said, Calvin, the trim's out there. He said, you need to go prime it. You don't want to prime it when it's already up. And he said, the trim man is coming tomorrow morning. This was in the afternoon one day. I'll never forget the world. It was at this time of year because the World Series was on. We had temporary power out there to that house. And I told Kelly, I said, honey, I've got to go. If they cut all that trim, I'm talking about the baseboard and everything, and they put all that up and I haven't primed it, it's going to be so much work, extra work. Whereas I could get some saw horses and just prime it all, you know, quickly. So I said, I'm going out there. Well, he had all this stuff scattered everywhere. So I put it on saw horses. I had a radio. I was listening to the World Series until it was over at about 10:30 or 11 at night. It wasn't like this game the other night. And I kept going. I kept going. Well, when I primed my last piece of trim, the sun was coming up. I'd stayed up all night. You know what I did? I drove to my brother-in-law's house at 5:45 and 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun was starting to come up. I knocked on the door. He came to the door. He said, Calvin? I said, I just want you to know all the trim is primed. And then I went to work. He called me that afternoon and said, the trim guy didn't show up. So anyway, I'm telling you. But when you build a house, you got to go by the directions. You've got to build a foundation. And so if you're going to do it right, you have to have intentionality and focus. So look at this passage of Scripture. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, you hearing these sayings of mine, that sounds like Scripture to me. That sounds like what God thinks about things. Jesus was giving them instruction. He says, if you hear these sayings of mine, you're like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so it will take intentionality, it will take focus. Now, number six, every family is like every house. You have rain. The guy that built his house on the sand, he didn't go by the truth. It's going to rain on his house. It even says it. What do they both have in common? The guy that builds on the rock and the guy that builds on the sand, they're both going to have rain. You know what that is? Trouble. Trouble is coming. Difficulty is coming. But you know what? The Scripture says they both are going to have rain. But number seven, there are two different outcomes. One house falls, the other house stands. Can I tell y'all something? I believe that when we face difficulty in our family and in our lives, probably one of the greatest witnesses we have to a lost world is how we respond to the rain, how we respond to the difficulty. When our lives are built upon the truth of God's word, then the Lord uses that in the lives of those that the rain is falling on them as well. And they want to know what is the difference in your life as you live your life for Jesus Christ. So we must prioritize the word in our families. Now, if you want to turn over there, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is actually a passage of Scripture where Paul was writing to young Timothy, his young son in the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, remind them. Now, he's told them, he's saying to them in verse 2 of that chapter, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. He's showing them how to equip them in the word. I think this applies to the family as well, because look what he says in verse 14. He says, remind them of these things. Of what things? the truth of God's word, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can make this application to your own family as you prioritize the word of God. You study the word of God with your family. You apply the truth of God's word with your family. God will bless you. And it will be your way. It will be your way of building your house upon the rock of the truth of God's word. So, number nine, rightly dividing, where it says rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing means cutting it straight. I like that phrase. I wanted you to have that and to see that. That really spoke to me. It means cutting it straight. In other words, I'm interpreting what God says and I'm applying it in my family. In the book of Philippians, we're studying Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things," or think on these things. All right, so you're in your family and you're deciding, how are we going to be entertained? What are we going to watch with our eyes? Well, cutting it straight would be to say to the members of the family, you know, let's review what the word says. This is what we're to think upon. And we're to think upon things that are pure and things that are honest and things that are of good report. And so what you do is you apply the truth of God's word into the family and how we live. You know, our youngest son is engaged. Jerry's engaged. Man, we're excited about that. And Jennifer is a little bit older than Jerry, and she is at college. But we have walked through the teenage years about dating and about, you know, spending time with friends. And I think about in those days, sometimes when there was a relationship you weren't sure about, you would go to the Word of God and you'd say, what does the Scripture say about who we should have a relationship with in that way? And you go to the Scripture. Sometimes it's tough. I tell you what, Dr. Dobson used to talk about that raising a family is like going down. You ever go whitewater rafting? He would talk about that raising a family is like going in whitewater. You go down, I always loved it when you kind of come through the rapids and you'd end up, you just kind of going real slow. You hadn't gotten to the next rough rapids. And you're just kind of easing, you know, and you're in that kayak or you're in that inner tube that you're going down and you see it coming. Dobson talked about the teenage years were being rough rapids sometimes. Sometimes it can be that way. Maybe it'll be a little bit later. Who knows? But in the family, sometimes you reach that point. So when you come to difficulty, what do? You try to cut it straight. You've got an agreement in your home that we're going to go by the truth of God's word. We're going to look at what the Scripture says about life and how to live it. And so you cut it straight. Now, there's something that has to be coupled with truth for it to be effective. If I've blown it once, I was trying to think of how to word this, and I don't know any great way to say it. If I've blown it once, I've blown it 1,000 times probably, because I haven't necessarily enacted this next principle that I think is so important. Right truth, number 10, must be coupled with right relationship. There's two tensions in the home. There's the tension of the truth. This is the way it is. But there's also coupled with that, the importance of relationship. And I want you to notice back in our scripture in Timothy, go back to the scripture in Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look over at chapter 3, verse 14. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of. Now, he's talking about the truth of God's word, the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. I just want to draw your attention that he did not say, I want you to continue in the things which you've learned because of what you've learned. Let me tell you what you've learned. And he reminded them of what they've learned. He also didn't say, I want you to remember what you've learned because of how you learned them. Remembering how you learned them. He also didn't say, I want you to hold fast to the truth because of why you've learned them. You know what he said? Look at that verse. This is very interesting. I'd never discovered this until I studied for this lesson. It says, knowing from whom you've learned them. Can I tell you this? When the right relationship is there, those in the family will be more open to living out the truth because of whom they're learning it from. You know why Paul said that? Paul said to Timothy, I want you to remember what you've learned because of who's taught it to you. And you know those people are real. You know I'm real because of the relationship we have. And so I really think that in the home, relationship is so important, that we keep that relationship strong in for every member of the family. If you have nothing but truth, it becomes too caustic. You do what I say, and you have no compassion whatsoever, then it can become caustic. On the other hand, if it's all about relationship and no truth, it's just mush. There's no standard at all. There's nothing to aspire to in the scripture in that way. There's no truth to aspire to. And yet when you couple the truth with relationship, you can reach that balance. I just thought that was very interesting that in chapter 3, verse 14, he said, I want you to continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of. And I just think it's very interesting that he said, knowing from whom. And I know sometimes I'll hear somebody may say, hey, I think that's the way you ought to take that. That's the truth of that. Now, I don't know about that. And then say, well, let me tell you what I heard from somebody. If it's from someone who I have a relationship with, someone who I know is real, someone who I know loves me, someone whom I know loves the Lord Jesus Christ, it is more received and embraced in that truth when the relationship is there. I just think that is a key principle in presenting truth in the family. So our word is truth tonight. The thing that we are injecting into our family is to make sure that we are living by the truth, but we're remembering, though, that we are to couple truth with right relationship. Number 11, these are some practical things. Start a regular time of Bible reading and prayer. Memorize scripture together. Memorize the books of the Bible. Read through the Bible in a year. We've got some guides for that. Maybe as husbands and wives, or maybe in the family, you could watch a series on the family. You could turn off the television. Amen? You could turn off the television. Years ago, my pastor growing up wrote a book called Help for Parents of Junior Hires. It was a bestseller. Not really. He gave it away. It wasn't a seller. But he didn't sell it. But it was called Tips for the Parents of Junior Hires. And he gave just some basic things. You know what he said? One of his main things, come back to the dinner table. I just thought that was interesting. And so one of the suggestions here, letter G, have dinner together. Now that sounds funny, maybe to some of you, but you know what? I'm telling you, we're like kids and families. The older they get, I mean, to sit down at the table and have conversation is become rarer and rarer and rarer. And so that is a great suggestion, I think, that we have there. Read a portion of Scripture and pray with your kids before bed. Post your values. We have gotten into, with our grandkids, this Jesus storybook Bible. You can get that thing on video. You can get that. We can get it here in the office for you. It's a great little tool for little children. The truth is that the way you communicate that truth in the home and the relationship you have is what makes a difference. I have one of my old Bibles here. This is when I first came out of seminary, I got this big old Bible. This is a Scofield Reference Bible. This is a King James Scofield Reference Bible. Now, nobody even smiled at that or anything. You don't even have a clue what this is, do you? Okay. Well, this is what I had. And I've got a lot of notes in it. But when I was thinking about that whole truth about making truth important in the home and the impact of the home. By the way, our philosophy, our mindset, and I think this is what the New Testament teaches, is that the church joined hands with the family to teach and reinforce the things that you are teaching in your home. If you're thinking that your spiritual responsibility is fulfilled because you bring your kids to church, we're in trouble, because they're getting a lot more influence outside of the 3-4 hours a week that they get here in church. Now we're trying to reinforce it. We're trying to put out truth like a fire hydrant, you know, as fast as we can put it out. And I know in our youth ministry we're doing that. I know in our preschool and our children we're trying to do that. And of course we're doing that in our fellowship in the adult area as well. But you can't rely on that. It has to happen in the home. One of our heroes is Elizabeth Elliot. You probably know that because I've done so many quotes. Elizabeth Elliot really impacted Kelly. Elizabeth Elliot tells a story when she was 4 years old around her dinner table. And I'll just tell you this briefly so that it may be a reminder how important it is that you make truth the priority in your home. She said, when I was 4 years old, Betty Scott came to our home. Now, Betty Scott was a young girl about to go on the mission field. She was going to marry a man named John Stamm, who was a missionary to China. And she was passing through, and she stayed with us and had dinner in our home. And she said, I remember meeting her, knowing she was going to go to China. When I was 8 years old, my father brought home a copy of the newspaper that said that Betty Scott Stamm and her husband, John Stamm, were captured in China. And that they were stripped and they were chained together and dragged through the streets of their village and taken to the outskirts of their village and beheaded. It shook her up. But she said, I remember thinking, this is what discipleship is all about. They talked about it in their home. And I wrote all this down when she shared this 20 years ago with our family. And then when she was 12, when Elizabeth Elliot was 12 years old, she found a prayer that Betty Scott had written as a teenager. And here's what the prayer said. It said, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all utterly to thee, to be yours forever. Fill me with your spirit and use me as thou wilt, and send me wherever thou will, and work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. And Elizabeth Elliot at age 12 found that prayer that Betty Scott had written. She was just a few years older. And she said, we had sat at the dinner table with her. You know, one of the things I think is neat is when you fellowship with one another around your table, to have those who love Jesus around the table, invite folks to be there, because it speaks to our kids. It makes a difference in our kids' lives. And that relationship that was in the home there, and the truth that was portrayed there through Betty Scott, made a difference. And of course, you know that Elizabeth Elliot ended up going to Ecuador. Her husband was martyred, and instead of coming home, she stayed, went back into that country, and as a result, many in that country came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it begins when we make a commitment that truth will be central in our home. Let's have prayer together. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.